Walk, please. Walk, walk, walk. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to the book of John, chapter 15. We're continuing with praying to get results. And we're going to go a little bit further today about prayer. Because come January, we're going to set aside the first... From January 2nd to January 22nd, which will be, to the 23rd, which will be 21 days, we're going to have 21 days of prayer and fasting in January. And so we're going to commit to a more intense time of prayer. And, you know, I just want to encourage you to pray more. I know for me personally, I am striving to spend more time in prayer, to be more zealous of the things of God. The only thing that I care about in life at this point is doing God's will for me and whatever He wants me to do, wherever He wants me to be, because whether you realize it or not, our time is short. You know, James describes our life on earth as like a vapor. It comes and it goes. And we are all going to stand before the Lord one day. And He's going to ask you, what did you do with what I told you? And we're not going to have any excuses. And we're going to see all the opportunities that we've had to obey Him in everything, in every area of life. So make it a point now in your heart to do the will of God, because that has eternal results. Amen? And it's not too late. If you're still breathing, it's not too late. Amen? I mean, Moses didn't really get started until he was 80. When you think about it, he trained for 40 years in Egypt and left Egypt, and then was 80. He had the burning bush experience. So at the age of 80, God wasn't done with him yet. He was just getting started. But don't live your life too long where you're not doing God's will. Make it a point to do God's will now. Otherwise, that's where you'll find your greatest joy. John chapter 15 and verse 16, the Bible says this: You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you, I have planted you, that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, that your fruit may be lasting, the fruit and keep on bearing, that it may remain or abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, say whatever you ask. See, the way that we bear fruit today is whatever we ask the Father in the name of Jesus, it causes God's power to be released on whatever situation it is, and it's all through prayer. God has given us the wonderful privilege of praying to God as a form of communication with the Father. You can communicate with the Almighty. And the thing about prayer is, you can offer it anytime, anywhere, any place. It can be loud, it can be quiet. You know, sometimes it's with not even words. You know, remember Hannah was praying, her lips were moving, but no sound was coming out? Amen? It could be with groanings and utters. But God has given us the wonderful privilege that we all can pray. And I want you to see your prayers effective. I want your prayers to produce results. Your prayers should be bearing fruit, and that fruit should remain. There should be a lasting change come about as a result of our praying. The reason that you're here today is someone prayed for you. You know, when I was, before I got saved, I grew up in a Catholic church. And I fell asleep every church service. And there was a priest in our town, and he was Father Chester, and we called him Chet the Jet. Because if you were 5 minutes late, you missed communion. His services were only like 20 minutes. That's why we called him Chet the Jet. And That appealed to a lot of people. You know, we have a drive-through mentality. We want to drive by church and I like to order a blessing and make mine to go, please. You know? But the kingdom of God is not always like that. Yeah, there are some times when God will do a suddenly, he'll do immediately, but most of the time it's a process. Most of the time he wants you to sit down in a nice, comfortable atmosphere. He wants to prepare you a 7-course meal. And your presence is required at the table. Did you know, I noticed something about tithing. You know what the Bible says about tithing? It says bring the tithe. Well, how can you bring the tithe if you're not with it? God wants you in his place of worship. Amen? He's the head of the church. And he built the church. All right, so let's get back on focus here. Go with me to Psalm 65. Psalm 65. And look at verse 2. This is a general statement about prayer. And I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. Say all flesh. All flesh. So that tells me that anybody can pray. You know, the Muslims, they pray 5 times a day. How many Christians, if you were to do an interview, how many Christians do you think would pray 5 times a day? I mean, when a Muslim prays, they have to get out their little mat. They have to face, towards the east, you know, and they have to bow so many times and they have to pray. They have to do that 5 times a day. We can do better than the Muslims, can't we? Amen? But notice, he says, prayer is an invitation. It says, you shall all flesh come. He's talking about the one who hears prayers. Did you know God hears prayer? Say, God's not deaf. He doesn't need a hearing aid. And besides, he knows what you're dealing with before you even bring it to him. But it's the act of bringing it to him that demonstrates our faith and trust in him. Amen? And that's what it's all about. You can't pray effectively without faith and trust. You know, and there's no such thing as a shotgun prayer. You know, you just shoot a shotgun and you hope to hit something. You know? I mean, when I was young, I grew up, we would go goose hunting once a year. And every year down in southern Illinois, it was not too far from Cape Girardeau, Missouri, but on the Illinois side, we would go hunting and we would sit in a pit in the middle of the field. And, you know, one time a mouse ran up my leg. But anyway, if we didn't take careful aim, we would miss. And see, in prayer, you've got to have focused prayer. You've got to take aim when you pray. You've got to be specific about your prayers. You ask for nothing and you'll get nothing. It's very simple. You know, God's not complex when it comes to prayer. But it is a spiritual discipline that we all should do. The Bible several times says, pray without ceasing. Pray always. Rejoice always. Say always. Always. You know, while you're washing the dishes, you could pray. You know, don't be like the little boy. Before he went to sleep, he said, now I lay me down to sleep with a bag of candy at my feet. If I die before I wake, you know I died of a tummy ache. Go to Psalm 66. You know I got to integrate humor somewhere. Psalm 66. And let's begin with verse 17. Well, let's go up back to 16. Come and hear, all you who reverently and worshipfully fear the Lord, or fear God, and I will declare what he has done for me. I cried aloud to him. Say aloud. He was extolled, and high praise was under my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Aren't you glad that God doesn't turn away your prayer? But you know what? When you pray, it's got to be surrounded with praise and thanksgiving. You've got to enter prayer with a reverential attitude. You got to enter prayer knowing that God is going to do something. And God gave us a playbook, a guideline of prayer. If we just pray the word, you'll never miss. Your prayers will be effective. Did you know that the word of God covers every area in life? There's not an area in life that the word of God doesn't deal with. And Jesus is the word. Go with me to Psalm 145. These are just some encouragements for us to pray. Look at verse 18. The Lord is near to who? All who what? Call upon him. To all who call upon him sincerely and in truth. And then he goes on to say in verse 19, he will fulfill the desires of those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Aren't you glad that God will, he's near. When you call upon him, he's not far away. You know, when Peter was walking on the water, and he began to look at the circumstances. See, anytime you take your eyes off Jesus, you're going to start to sink. Amen? How far away was Jesus when Peter started to sink into the water? He was an arm's length away. His arm is not too short to save. And you know what Peter's cry was? Help! What a prayer. A deep, reverential prayer. Help! That prayer was effective though, right? Because not only did Peter not drown, but he was taken in the boat and they were automatically taken to shore. See, the thing about prayer, go with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah 29. And let's begin with verse 12. Well, let's go back to 11. I feel like I'm a line dancer. Two steps forward, one step back. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you. Say, God has thoughts and plans for me. Says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, not for evil. Did you know that God's not the author of evil in your life? When something bad happens, you shouldn't say, God, why did you do this? God is like, what? What did I do? He's not the author of evil. But there is one who is. His name is Satan. He wants to give you a hope in your final outcome. Verse 12, then you will call upon me. See, when you understand that God's thinking about you, it's going to encourage you to call on him. How many have God on speed dial? Amen? Aren't you glad there's no communication interruption with prayer? There's no dead spots. Amen? But God has, he has better communication than the satellites in NASA. Amen? Then you will call upon me and you will come and pray to me. And I will hear and heed. Notice prayers a lot of times involve you coming to him. Why? God already came to us. He already did his job. Jesus said it is finished. Now the ball's in your court. You come. You come. That's an act of faith. That's an invitation. Anybody that wants to answer the invitation can come. There's no restriction on who can come. But if you determine in your heart that you need help from God, come before Him. Come and call upon Him. Come to Him and He'll help you. And I will hear and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity. Say vital necessity. How many, when you woke up this morning, you had to think, okay, let's breathe now. See, prayer, we ought to be in such a habit of communicating with God, it should be like breathing. It's a vital necessity. Hold your breath and see how long you can do it for. Maybe a minute, maybe two, maybe four if you're in superb shape. But breathing is a vital necessity. So is prayer to your Christianity. It is vital. And find me when you search for me with all your heart. Oh, you mean I got to search? Yeah. But I guarantee you, though, if you search, He's not hard to find. The Bible says in Matthew 7, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. But you have to do the asking, the seeking, and the knocking. And you will never hear God say, sorry, I'm too busy right now, please go away. I've got too many things going on. No. Do you realize that God is everywhere? He's omnipresent. So everywhere He is. But He's just not always celebrated in the place. Amen? And then notice what verse 14 says. When you search for Him with all your heart, He says, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will release you from captivity. Say, release from captivity. Is there anything that's bound you, that has hindered you, that has stopped you from moving forward in God? Well, it could be that the devil has held you captive and he has put chains on you to hinder you, but through prayer, when you come to God, He'll release the captivity. He is a deliverer. He is a mighty deliverer. He does not like captivity. He likes freedom. Whom the Lord sets free, the Bible says, is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, He said, there is liberty. There's freedom. Our God is a free God. Amen? So we ought to be a free people. You know, one time I was in a service in Illinois. I had worked late that night. And I got to service late. And I was sitting kind of in the middle towards the back. And praise and worship had a few more songs left. And I was just praising the Lord. And they began to sing a song about freedom. And a voice spoke to me on the inside of me. I didn't hear an audible voice, but on the inside of me, it said, well, if you're free, why don't you act like it? I was like, okay. So you know what I did? I stepped out into the aisle and I started dancing. I got a little bit more free. Amen? Sometimes you just need to make yourself get free. Don't be bound up. Don't be bound by what people think. There are times when the Holy Ghost will put something in your heart and He wants your obedience to do it. And if you don't do it, He's not going to tell you anything else. Because He can't trust you with the little things. Why should He give you a big thing? So yeah, there I was. I just came. I'm just enjoying worship. The Lord says, well, if you're free, why don't you act like it? I was like, well, okay, I'm just going to act like it. But you know what? I got more free. Sometimes you just got to act on your faith. It's not based on feeling. It's based on obedience to the Word. That's what faith is. Sometimes God will tell you to do something, and He's not concerned about how you feel. When God told Moses to deliver Israel, I just got to take a moment here. There he was standing by the burning bush. And God said, I want you to go back into Egypt and deliver my people. But I can't speak. I don't care. God basically, I'm paraphrasing. God said, I made your mouth. If it's not working right, I can fix it. But the more Moses complained about why he couldn't do what God told him to do, the more angrier God got. Then God said, well, I'll give you Aaron, your brother. He'll be your spokesman. Finally, you're going to realize that you can't lose, you can't win in an argument with God. When God tells you to do something, he don't care about your feelings. He cares about your obedience. So sometimes we got to do things in spite of how we feel. We got to smile. Oh, but you're being deceptive. No, I'm doing what the word says. Why does the word say, let the weak say I'm strong? Naturally, that doesn't make sense. When you're weak, you should be saying, I'm weak. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Because when you're weak, he's strong. And when you're weak, he gets the glory and you don't. And God's not going to share his glory. He loves it when the deck is stacked against him, because then he can show himself as God. So he'll rescue us from captivity, and he'll gather you from the nations and all the places which I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Did you know that prayer can change your circumstances? Well, Pastor, I've just messed my life up. I've just done so many bad things that there's no help for me. Really? Why don't you pray? You know, we came up with this idea a few years back when I was in Illinois. When people would come for counseling, and if they were filled with the Spirit, we would say, okay, if you want to get counseling, pray in tongues for an hour, then come and talk with me. You'll find that if you pray in tongues for an hour, you're going to forget what you need to talk about. Amen? Go with me to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. I want you to see something here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. Daniel was a man of prayer. And if you ever want to know about prayer, study the life of Daniel. Look at verse 2, though. He said, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the books, say from the books, the number of years which, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the desolations which had been pronounced on Jerusalem should end. It was 70 years. So Daniel got a hold of the word of the Lord that was spoken to Jeremiah about how Israel's captivity will end in 7 years. And you know what he began to do? Look at what he began to do in verse 3. I set my face to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God to made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God who keeps covenant mercy and loving kindness with those who love him and keep his commandments. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. But Daniel saw something in the word of God. And he had a revelation, and he began to pray for the release of captivity in 70 years. He began to pray the word that was spoken to Jeremiah. See, it's almost as if John Wesley said that God will not move on earth unless people pray. Well, he gave man dominion on this earth, didn't he? From the beginning. I want you to dominate, I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to multiply, and I want you to subdue the earth. Well, in the fall, man lost his position, and he gave the lease over to Satan, who deceived him. But through Jesus Christ, we get back the authority that was lost, and we can dominate where we are. Can you say amen? And you're going to do that through prayer. You know what? If the courts took prayer out of school, why can't we pray and get it back in school? Which is more powerful, the judge or prayer? The problem is, we accept that defeat. We go around and say, I've said it myself, so I'm pointing my finger at myself. Oh, prayer is not in our schools. So we've gotten to an agreement to that defeat. But I'm telling you, if there's a handful of people that would just get together and pray, they would know how to get a hold of heaven. You could shake heaven and earth. You could shake the school system, and God could do miracles. How many saw facing the Giants? A revival started in that school. Even though it's a movie, it's true. It can happen. Amen. The problem is people aren't praying like we should. We just accept. We accept these things. You know, people who spend their time protesting abortion clinics, you're not going to change them through protest, but you'll change them through prayer. Jesus never was involved in a protest, but he changed the world. And he was a praying man. You read the Gospels, and oftentimes Jesus would get by himself. He'd pray all night and minister all day. Before he had to choose his disciples, he was all night in prayer. He gave his disciples an example. He would get alone with the Father, and he would pray, and he would come out of his prayer closet with authority and power, just like we need to do. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. What should your attitude be in prayer? Well, it should be an attitude of confidence. Say confidence. You ought to be confident in who God is and what His Word says, so that when you pray according to His Word, you know that things are going to happen. How many are convinced that you're fully persuaded that when you pray, things are going to happen? Notice what 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 say. This is the confidence, say confidence, or the assurance, or the privilege of boldness, which we have in Him. Say we have. Okay? That if we ask anything, say anything, according to His will, or in agreement with His own plan, He listens and hears us. I want to take a moment. This is the confidence that we have in Him. Notice your confidence is in the Lord. It's not in your eloquence. Oh, I'm confident that you can pray with such eloquence and dignity. No. Who cares about eloquence? I remember Leroy Thompson. Now, you have to understand, Leroy Thompson is a black Cajun preacher in Dar, Louisiana, okay? And sometimes his English isn't always the best. Like, instead of saying Romans, he'll say Roman. Turn to the book of Roman. Anyway, he said that he hired an English teacher to try to help him, you know, speak better and more clear. He said, when I got up to speak, he said, I lost half my anointing. He said, I fired that English teacher. Not that the English teacher was bad, it's just that it was hindering him, his own style. Amen? But this is the confidence that we have in Him if we ask anything according to what? His will. When you ask according to God's will, what is God's will? His Word is His will. So if you're asking in line with the Word, you have confidence. Would you ask someone for money whom you knew had none? You would ask someone for money whom you knew had no money. You wouldn't ask people for money whom you knew that didn't have it to help you, right? Would a child ask for the keys if the father didn't own a car? No. So what produces confidence? Knowing who God is and what He's done. You're putting your confidence in God, and His confidence is laid out in the Word. He said, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what does He do? He hears us. And then verse 15 says, and if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we also know, and the Amplified says, with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us He has granted our present possessions the request made of Him. How do you know that God hears you? Because it says, would you pray according to His will? So when you're praying according to God's will, you know that He hears you. Abraham had a son named Ishmael, right? And Ishmael was the result of a relationship with Hagar, an Egyptian. Ishmael was not supposed to be born according to God's will. But he was, because Abraham messed up. And as a result, you know, God kept giving Abraham a promise that he was going to have a son. And Abraham prayed, "Oh, let Ishmael live before you." Now God blessed Ishmael to a degree because of Abraham's relationship. But that was not his best. That was not his perfect will. And he still had to believe for Isaac. And when Isaac came along, he inherited a greater degree of blessing. So Abraham was trying to make an Ishmael work when it wasn't God's will. And too many times we're doing that with prayer. We're trying to make something that we did, something that we created, work when it wasn't God's will in the first place. So before you pray for something, find out what the Word says about it. Find out what God's will. You know, oftentimes there was a move in the church world where people would pray for healing. They would say, "Lord, if it be thy will, heal this person." Well, cannot we find what God's will regarding healing was? Did Jesus ever come across a sick person that came to him and said, "I don't know if it's my will. What is my will?" What did Jesus do to every sick person that came to him? So that is a demonstration of what his will is, wasn't it? He said, "I've come to do the will of him who sent me." So if Jesus went about healing, we know that healing is God's will. So that when you pray for healing, don't say, "If it be thy will." Say, "Lord, I thank you that you are the healer. You are the deliverer. Lord, I thank you for healing this person." You see the difference? When you say, "Lord, the only time Jesus prayed, if it be thy will, was when he was in the garden and he was about to face the cross. He said, "Father, if this cup pass from me," he said, "but not my will, yours be done." That doesn't mean we should pray every prayer, "Father, if it be your will." God clearly demonstrates what his will is on different things, doesn't he? So if you want to be confident in prayer, go to the Word. And it will produce the confidence that you need. And you'll get up from that prayer praising the Lord, knowing that he heard you. And you'll go around saying, "Thank you, Lord, for whatever it is you prayed for. Thank you, Lord." And pretty soon, the more you praise him, you're going to see it manifested in your life. Amen. You don't look to the manifestation of it. You look to him. From point A, your prayer request, to point B, the answer, it ought to be filled with praise and thanksgiving. And don't put God on a timetable. He's eternal. He doesn't operate on time. You just believe that what his word said is true and you stick with that and don't veer. So your attitude in prayer ought to be one of confidence, expectancy, boldness. He says, "Come boldly before the throne of grace." Did you know that you as a believer in Christ can approach the throne of the Almighty to find grace and mercy? He says, "Come boldly before the throne room, before the throne of grace, that you might obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need." Well, in order for you to get grace and mercy, you got to come. That's prayer. That's presenting yourself before God, and you ought to do it confidently. There was J. Peter Daniels, who's an Australian billionaire. He has a sign in his office that says, "You have 10 seconds to get excited about what you're in here to talk to me about." Why? Because he doesn't want people, you know, we don't want to be an Eeyore Christian. "Hey, God, I just want to come and say." You know, Eeyore never has a good positive attitude about life. It's always negative. Eeyore does a lot of complaining. Don't be an Eeyore Christian. Amen? You ought to show some confidence. And go with me to Hebrews 10:35. This is what happens to a lot of people. You know, if the devil can knock you out of faith for something, he can step in because you'll lose your confidence. So he'll try to attack your faith through delays. He'll try to get you in fear, doubt, and worry. And because what happens is, if you have a timetable for something, the devil will then begin to apply pressure. He'll begin to push and to apply pressure and fear. And you're like, what are you going to do? He wants to get you out of faith, because if he can get you out of faith, he can steal the blessing. All right? Hebrews 10:35. It says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. See, what happens is, in the process of believing for something, you're believing for something, it's a hope. Faith makes that hope a reality, okay? And you want it to come to pass. You're believing for it, whether it's anything, all right? But if the devil can get you to throw your confidence away, the Bible says hold on to your confidence. Don't cast your confidence away, because it has a great compensation of reward. God rewards those who endure. God rewards those who cling to the end. God rewards those who don't quit. It took 25 years for Abraham to have his Isaac, but he didn't quit. He had many opportunities, but at each opportunity, God would show him. He would renew the covenant. He would give him a vision, and he kept walking. He kept believing, and finally, his Isaac came to pass. There were many opportunities where he could have cast away his confidence. He could have threw his confidence aside, but he kept clinging to the Word of God. Romans tells us when it was beyond hope, he believed in hope, and he strengthened his faith, and he considered his body dead. He believed that God would do a great thing. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't be so shifty where the devil can come in and destroy your focus. He tried to distract Jesus all the time. You healed on the Sabbath. You cast out devils by Beelzebub. He said, really? How do you cast them out? They tried to distract Jesus all the time. They tried to physically kill him before it was time. What did he do? He just walked away, because he didn't cast away his confidence. He knew who he was. He knew whose he was. And he kept doing what God sent him to do. And he was able to say at the end of his life, it is finished. Paul was able to say at the end of his life, I have ran my race. I've finished my course with joy. If you haven't reached that joy level yet, there's still something for you to do. Amen? So don't cast away your confidence. It has great recompense or compensation of reward. Your confidence will reward you greatly, but it's up to you to keep it. Anybody can give up. Anybody can stay down when they're knocked down, but it takes a righteous man and woman of God to get back up. You can knock me down 100 times, Satan, but 100 times I'm getting back up. You can knock me down 1,000 times, but 1,000 times I'm getting back. Some of you need to get back up. You've been wallowing in the mud. You've been playing with the pigs. It's time for you to come to yourself and come back home to the Father. The prodigal son, he had to come to himself before he could come home. Thank God he came to him. Thank God he got sober in his mind, that he was able to come back to the Father. He said, I'll be willing to be a servant, not a son. But think, and how did the Father receive him? Without condemnation. Hallelujah. Here's the Father waiting for you. He sees you. When you make that step of faith, he sees you coming down the lane. Hallelujah. He gets excited in his heart. Glory to God. Go with me to 1 John. Chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 21. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. But it says, and beloved, if our conscience or our heart does not accuse us or condemn us, we have confidence before God. Did you know that the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart before he'll speak to your head? It's your feelings and emotions that speak to your head, but the Spirit speaks to your heart. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the hidden man of the heart. The Bible says that He'll give you a new heart, which is a new nature, which is the nature of God, and it's on the inside of us. So you got to be true to your heart. Okay? You got to be true to what's on the inside of here. Let's go to Acts chapter 16, and I want to share a story with you of someone who was true to their heart in prayer. We're familiar with this story. I've quoted it several times, but we're going to look at it today. It's the story of Paul and Silas. And let's look at verse 16. I want you to see something here. It says, as we were on our way to the place of prayer, say the place of prayer. Do you know that when you get ready to pray, Satan is going to send distractions along your way? Your stomach's going to say, I'm hungry. Your body's going to say, I'm tired. You might get a phone call from a friend. You might get another opportunity. You might see a program on TV. When you make a commitment to pray, I can guarantee you that the devil will try to distract you because he doesn't want you to hear from God. He doesn't want you to make your request known to God. He will try to prevent prayer. If it wasn't so important, why does he fight it so hard? They were on their way to the place of prayer. And we were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination. That spirit is the spirit of Python. What does a python do? It constricts. This woman who was a fortune teller, who was a slave girl, her owners had a 1-900 psychic number. And they were making a lot of money off this girl. But she had a spirit of divination. That is the spirit of Python. What she said was being twisted and perverted and constricted. Okay? And she would tell future events to discover hidden knowledge. And she brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. They made a lot of money. Verse 17, she kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting loudly, these men are servants of the Most High God. They announce to you the way of salvation. Was what she said a lie? No. But what was behind her was a liar. She kept saying about Paul and Silas that these men were of the Most High God. Well, didn't the demon spirits recognize Jesus? They said, Jesus, I know who you are. You're the Son of God. Have you come to torment us? Have you come to take us, send us away? They recognized Jesus immediately, didn't they? Be glad when the devil knows your name. That means he considers you a threat to him when the devil knows your name. He knows that you're one not to reckon with. So here was Paul. They were going to prayer, and this woman, this slave girl, kept shouting, these are men of the Most High God. They show you the way of salvation. Look at verse 18. And she did this for many days. Say many days. Then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out, in other words, something on the inside of Paul had given him a revelation that this woman, there's something about this woman that is not right. You ever hear someone speak and something on the inside of you said, you know, there's just something not right about that? I remember one time I was in a service in Tulsa. Oh my goodness, what a service that was. Not good. We were there and the praise and worship singers were 8 octaves out of key. Okay? So, I mean, that was bad enough to endure. Then the pastor gets up there. Now, this guy had been walking around the sanctuary during worship. Well, he was the pastor. And he closed his Bible, and he opened up this yellow pad of paper, and he began by saying, tonight I was caught up in the Spirit, and I heard words that came down through my mind into my spirit, out my hand, and on this yellow pad of paper. And I'm looking at my friend, we are out of here, Jack. Let me tell you something. He closed the Bible and was starting to just talk about what he had revealed through this spiritual experience. Talk about the Twilight Zone. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I mean, he was out there, man. He was doing the moonwalk without walking backwards. Well, needless to say, we didn't stay. My friend and I, we left because we were like, we are getting out of here. But, you know, it was a revelation to Paul that this woman was operating by an evil spirit. And he turned to the spirit within her. And he said, I charge you to come out of her. And it came out. Say, it came out. Hallelujah. When you got a revelation that someone's operating by an evil spirit and you say to that spirit, come out, that spirit has to obey you. Number one, Paul did not want to be associated with this woman because what she did it for money. Number two, he did not want to be associated with her because she was giving them a bad name. He didn't want to be associated with fortune telling or divination because he had the true, genuine, and real power of God. And maybe Paul didn't at first, maybe he didn't realize it was an evil spirit, but thank God for the gifts of discerning of spirits revealed to him that what she was being motivated by, now she was speaking the truth. But you can't always go by what people say. Sometimes there is something behind it. You know, the enemy is a deceiver. The Bible says that he can appear as an angel of light. Hence the Mormon church, Moroni, showing Joseph Smith the golden tablets, which are still yet to be found. Well, I'm going to leave that alone. You know what I think of the angel Moroni? You take the eye off the end, it's morons. Now, the owners discovered that their financial gain was cut off. So they took Paul and Silas before the magistrates, and they said, these fellows are Jews showing our city into great confusion. And the crowd joined in the attack, verse 22. Now, this was all on the way to prayer. Just think of this as another day at the office. Amen? Well, what happened at the office today? Oh, I was attacked by the spirit of Python. I cast it out, and then I got in trouble. So, look at verse 22. The crowd joined in the attack upon them, and the rulers tore their clothes off of them and commanded that they be beaten with rods. You want to mess with the devil's financial gain? What would happen if God would send you to a prominent business in your area and cast the spirit out of the owner and they start losing money? Think about it. This is what happened. You know, but the spirit is so dumb, he revealed himself. He kept shouting. The spirit wouldn't be quiet. Come on. The devil's, he's not one to be quiet. Pride needs an audience. So, they verse 23, when they had struck them with many blows, say many blows, they threw them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. He, having received so strict a charge, he put them into the inner prison, say the inner prison, and fastened their feet in the stocks. So, they're in a dungeon, okay? There's no light, and I'm sure it smelled like Lysol, right? I don't think so. Who knows what took place in that dungeon? They were in the inner prison, in the dungeon, with their feet in stocks, in chains. Why? Because they cast the devil out of some slave girl. And so, here they are. Let's just get this picture. All right? They're in the dungeon now. There's no light. It smells bad. Everything, there's no cushy seats. There's no air conditioning. There's no ventilation. And they're in chains. Now, they could have done a lot of things at this moment. They could have complained. They could have cried. They could have shouted. But what did they do? At midnight, but about midnight, as Paul and Silas say, we're praying. They had not just started to pray. They had been praying. They were praying at midnight. The conditions weren't conducive to prayer. They didn't have nice cushy seats. They were not comfortable, but they could pray because prayer is uninhibited. It cannot. You can pray no matter what situation you're in. You can pray. And that's what they did. Now, do you think if they hadn't had a habit of prayer, they'd have been so easily into prayer? Remember, they were going to the place of prayer, as was their custom. They went there all the time. They prayed all the time. And they were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Was this a silent prayer? No, because other prisoners were hearing them. They were like turning on the station, man. These guys got it on. They were listening to them praying and singing. See, that speaks to me of confidence. When you have confidence in prayer, you're not afraid if other people hear you. Oh, my gosh. She heard me praying. What am I going to do? Sometimes your prayer has to be loud. Amen? You got to open up your mouth and you got to belt it out. I don't think Paul and Silas took a survey of what people... Prisoners, let me take a poll. What do you think? How many prisoners, you know, you get a report on the news. There were no prisoners in the prison praying. We took a poll and there were no prisoners praying. Aren't you glad that you don't have to take a poll to pray? And what happened? Suddenly, say suddenly. See, I don't know how long they were praying, but it was at the midnight hour, the darkest hour, the worst time. That's when all their strength was gone. Hallelujah. They prayed and God showed up suddenly. He showed up the earth. The jail began to shake and the chains fell off. So the very foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once, all the doors, say all the doors, were opened, and everyone's shackles unfastened. Say everyone's. I don't know how many people were in this prison, but their prayers and their praises affected others. They changed their environment. They brought the presence of God in. When the presence of God wasn't there, it was through their prayers and their praising that brought the presence in. And they changed their circumstance and others. And the jailer was stirred out of his sleep. I can imagine so. He saw that the prison doors were open. He drew his sword and was on the point of killing himself because he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself, for all are here." Then the jailer called for the lights. They still hadn't turned on the lights. Imagine us having church service with no power, and we have to sit in the dark on hard benches. Would you be so apt? Would you be so excited? Oh, I'm going to go to church today, sit in the dark, and sit in someplace hard and praise the Lord. Come on now. That would reveal your heart. What do you do when times get rough? When you're at your darkest hour? Do you get on the phone and call your neighbor? Or do you get on the main line? Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Hallelujah. Just like the president has a phone that he can be contacted anywhere in the world, we have a God that can be contacted anywhere. You can call upon him when you're feeling good, when you're feeling bad, when you're in the midst of trouble. The Bible says he's a very present help in trouble. He's a deliverer. He's come to set the captive free, but he wants you to pray. Prayer made the difference in this situation. And it led to the salvation of the jailer and his household. And the jailer now, the warden of the jailer, took Paul and Silas home, cleaned them up, fed them, and the jailer and his house got baptized. And they had to be put back in prison the next day. Look at verse 33. He took them the same hour of the night. Say the same hour. It was still close to midnight or a little bit after midnight. He took them. And so he took them to his house. And but unfortunately, they had been put on trial. They had been beaten without having a trial. And as Roman citizens, that was unacceptable. So Paul used his citizenship card when they came to take him out of the jail. See, sometimes it's okay to declare who you are, and sometimes it's not. Amen? Jesus was silent before his accusers, but Paul was not. But, Yeah, he did it after. It was prayer. Let me just give you some characteristics of prayer. Prayer must be based on a personal relationship. You must know God. He is the creator, the redeemer, and the covenant giver. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a relationship. Are you keeping his commandments today? Do you honor and value him? If not, today is your day. You can turn things around today. Paul and Silas turned things around in a moment. Now, not only were they put in chains, they had been beaten. You know, they were physically hurting. And I understand that when you're dealing with physical things, sometimes it's not as easy to pray. But you can rise above that. Amen? Prayer is a genuine conversation, not a repetition of vain words. You ought to kiss prayer. Keep it simple, saint. K-I-S-S. It's not about vain repetition. It's about expressing your heart to God. Amen? Prayer is directed to the Father in the name of Jesus. When you say in the name of Jesus, you are identifying with his character, with his nature, with his plans and purposes. Can you find your identity in Christ? Or is your identity in what you do? Or where you came from? Or where you live? Or what you drive? Or what you wear? No, our identity should be in Christ. And when we say in the name of Jesus, we are identifying ourselves with all that is Christ. Prayer is a spontaneous, heartfelt sharing with God. Read the prayers that David prayed. Lord, why do the heathen rage? David would express his heart to God. Even when he would ask God why things aren't going the way they should, he would pour his heart out to God. It's a heartfelt expression. Pray your heart out to God. He loves you. He knows you better than anybody and accepts you. You are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted. Say, I'm accepted. You got to believe that. It's going back to having confidence in prayer. Where did Paul and Silas get this confidence? They'd been in the Word of God. They read how God would deliver the captive. They read that how God is a very present help in trouble. They read how he will break the chains of your captivity. And they had confidence. And prayer is made to the Father through the Son and guided by the Holy Spirit. When you don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit will help you. So, are you praying to get results? Are your prayers producing the desired results, the lasting fruit? They can. Sometimes, maybe we got to change some things. You got to be willing to change, willing to let down your life. Lay down your life, your plans, your agenda. Sometimes you got to deny yourself. You got to pick up the cross and you got to follow him. That's what Jesus wants of us. He wants our whole heart. You got to worship him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I don't love myself much. Well, you're going to have a hard time loving people. How do you love yourself? You accept the love that God has for you. He loves you. Get up in the morning and look in the mirror and say, God loves you. Tell yourself that. I'm serious. The more you tell yourself that, the more you'll believe it. God loves you. He's got great plans for you, Elliot. His hand is upon your life. He's going to cause you to rise on the high places of the earth. Because you have got, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for his heart right now. You have such a heart after God. Father, just let your anointing just come upon him right now. And just develop that, Father. Develop those plans that you have for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe you've been running away from God. It's time to come home. It's time to change your mind. We need to be a people of prayer. We need to pray that it produces results. We don't need some wishy-washy. Sometimes you got to know how to pray through. That means pray until you get the manifestation of the presence of God. You got to take the attitude of Jacob sometimes. I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Say, if I'm here all night, I'm here all night. I don't care. Let me tell you something, folks. This world is going to pass away. The Bible says those who love the world hate God. You can't love the world and love God at the same time. You can't love riches and you can't serve two masters. Either Jesus is your master and no one else. You got to be sold out to him. You got to be committed. And we got to pray for the lost. Let's stand up right now in Jesus' name. And just join me. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. We cry out, Father, for the lost that is in this area, Lord. And Lord, we just give you thanks and praise, Father, that you're leading us to the lost, Lord. You're showing us where to cast our nets in. Father, I pray that you begin to open the eyes, Father, of those who have been blinded by the enemy. Lord, I pray that the light of your glorious gospel would begin to shine on them, Father, in the name of Jesus. You would begin to wake them up. Father, we call in the lost, the broken, the lame, the maimed, Father, in the name of Jesus, the hurting, the downtrodden, Father. We call them in. Right now, Father, we lift up the name of Jesus because you said if you be lifted up, you will draw all men. Father, we pray right now that you would begin to draw all to this place, Father, to come to the truth, come to the light, come out of darkness, come out of bondage. Hallelujah, Father. We need to be brought before people whom we can loose and let go, Father. There are people who have grave clothes on them. They need to be brought out of the graves like Lazarus. They need to be raised to spiritual life in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? Maybe during this Christmas season, maybe we ought to have, if you want to come and pray early before church, come. You can pray in this room and just come and cry out to God and pray. Hallelujah. We are entering in. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times will come. That's dangerous times. And you better know how to pray. Because your prayers will deliver you out of danger. Amen. So if you need to receive something from God today, I would just like to join my faith with yours. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord like you're talking about, and I need to get right with God, I want to give you an invitation to come right now in Jesus' name. Make things right. Don't leave today with things being undone or things not being finished. Father, in Jesus' name, touch the hearts right now. Lord, if you just need a touch from God, if you need strength for what you're believing for, I just want to join my faith with yours in Jesus' name. And I want to just give you, come, have an opportunity to call upon the Lord and let him answer you and show you great and mighty things. If that's you, I want you to come right now in Jesus' name. I don't believe in accidents or coincidence, but there are divine appointments. Father, I just give you thanks and praise right now that the power of your Holy Spirit just come upon us. Father, convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. If there's anything that you need to get right with God, get it right now. In Jesus' name. Make it right. Choose to die to yourself. Hallelujah. Say this with me. Say, I will be a person of prayer. I will call upon the Lord as a habit at all times, regardless of what I feel. God is the rock of my salvation. He is my chief cornerstone. I align my life with His. I die to self. I take on the Lord's cause. In Jesus' name. Amen. And use what you learn about prayer and pray for others. Just if you find someone in need, just ask them, say, can I pray with you? And just pray and watch what God does. Amen? Well, God bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. Hallelujah. Have a great day. God bless you.